Accession number 22659, Reel 3.
You mentioning earlier on that the 2nd 11th went off pretty quickly without much preparation.
Yeah.
Do you think that lessons have been learned from that situation for you?
Oh, well, it was... what they did, I think they must have done some training over the east, I think. Or else they might have... I'm not certain... But they were away pretty quickly. They were away in December, I think. And I, oh, that's another thing. I was, what was I? Camp administration. I got shifted around all over the place. I was on the camp administration up there and solving the problems for some of the 2nd 11th. Oh, I just remembered that one.
What were some of the problems?
Oh, training and on training, and also their contact with the outside world, with their dependence and things like that. You see, and answer all sorts of questions for them.
What was the biggest thing that needed to be worked out in relation to training?
Oh, God. Confidence.
How did you instill that?
Well, by knowing the subject with your ability, and also, I suppose your action or personality made a big thing.
What
instead of bullying or trying to stand over them and that, you see, and be prepared to explain things and that, eh? And not just do things and if a problem arises, you know, just leave it. No, you have to straighten it out. Oh, now there's all sorts of things, you know, there. Wasn't yesterday. Yeah.
Tell us then what was involved in preparing to leave, to go away, and when did that take place?
What, the preparation? Mm. Well, from the time they marched in.
Sorry.
To the time we got in a train to go down to Fremantle.
When was it that you were to leave Australia?
When? Well, the 25th of October. Oh, we embarked, and that was on the Friday, I think, and we took off on the Sunday, if I remember rightly.
So, knowing that you were about to leave,
yeah.
What feelings were going through your mind, do you think, at that particular time?
Well, as a matter of fact, I was a bit concerned, but I didn't... not to any great deal, because I had so much to do. Anyway, I'll admit, at those days I was only a platoon commander. Hey? And but there was also the background that I was ex PMF, you see. And
what about leaving your family?
Oh, well, I was the youngest. I was the baby of the family. So it didn't make much difference. Of course, my mother and father were very concerned.
How did they show their concern?
Oh, well, they didn't much, really, because they didn't know we were leaving. Eh?
Were you able to get in touch with them to inform them?
Oh... No, God, there wasn't much in those days for them to get in contact. We didn't know when we were going on the boat, see, or when. See? We were just around the camp and that, or few days beforehand, told to pack up, and no information about us moving. We put on the train down to Fremantle.
What was the attitude on the train?
Well, you can't. There was no attitude at all.
Well, what was the feeling amongst the men heading off on a train going towards Fremantle to head off to war?
Well, I couldn't make any remark about it because although I was only platoon commander, as I've said, I still had quite a bit of responsibility and looking after troops and that.
What degree of excitement was there on the train heading off to go to war?
Oh, there wasn't any at all. It was only when we got in the bloody train and they started to come down, they went toodle, 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 you know, or cock-a-doodle.
Were there people to see you off as the train went by?
No.
Stop anywhere?
There might have been a few that heard the cock-a-doodle-doo business as we came along, you see, then. But I couldn't say because, I couldn't see what was going on outside and I didn't have contact with anyone because I was in the group or in the battalion and moving off, you see. I was just one of them.
What was it like then to arrive at Fremantle Harbour?
Well, it was quite all right. We just got off the train and onto the wharf, and the train, no doubt, you know, down there can go on the wharf and in those days, and onto the train. Now, wait a minute, did we... I'm not certain now whether we went on a lighter and out to the boat with the Aquitania.
I presume this has been the first time you would have been on a ship like that.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Well, we can talk about that. But what about the atmosphere at the wharf on your arrival? Was there anyone there to meet you, to say goodbye?
No. Oh, no, only a few staff. The rail waiter to tell us what to do and pickets and that. I don't remember seeing any people there. They certainly weren't on the wharf amongst us, no. They might have come in alongside after we were on board, because we were the first ones to be on board, you see, for a few hours. But I think they were down in their quarters.
You mentioned that you were taken out on lighters to the Aquitania. What was the feeling on board ship when you got on board? What was the feeling?
Well, settle in.
As you came up towards the Aquitania, what was the thought that you had in your mind in relation to this ship?
Oh.
It was a pretty big ship, I understand.
Oh, yes. Yeah. 50,000 tonnes or something. I'm not certain what it was. One of the big ships in those days. Yep.
So for a chap that had never been out to sea on a ship like that, what do you think you thought about as you head out towards this ship?
Oh, blow do I know. They were worried about it, just to take it, that's all there was.
What about the impression that you got of the ship once you were on board? Can you describe it to us?
Well, it seemed a bit compact.
Why?
Well, the cabins were full to their capacity. They weren't overloaded. What I mean, their bunks, built-in bunks were one-to-one, you see. And And of course it was limited to the capacity of the ship. And I think it took about three sittings for meals.
How was the morale on board as the men settled in?
Well, to me, it seemed quite all right. In those days, I had a platoon of the people I was dealing with, and they came mainly from Kalgoorlie miners, and some of them were, these Kalgoorlie miners were also from Collie. Work down at Collie had given out or reduced, and they'd gone up to Kalgoorlie in the gold mines.
What sort of characters were those coal miners? The gold miners, I'm sorry.
Well, I found them quite good. They were just, well, I had one or two in the platoon that weren't, and they weren't miners. See, because if they were miners, they have to have a strong constitution. You couldn't just put an odd sod down the mine and trust him. See? Now that's what I found. Yeah.
So they were a tough bunch.
Well, there's tough, and I'd say hard. See? What I mean, tough is it's a general thing that sometimes you can't even trust them because they're tough. But they're hard, and they'd lived a hard life.
Were they a happy bunch?
Well, our platoon, my platoon, I found yes. And,
to what degree did they show this character?
Oh, quite all right. I know I don't have to handle them. I know in a couple of cases I found out that we'll have a bloody shot at the boss, you see. And they'd be in a group, perhaps this was in a tent or in a part of the ship, you see, and they'd be talking about something, so the bloody boss, you know, so and so, so and so, and I'd just step around the corner. And they'd get a surprise. Well, some of them knew I was there, you see, and they were still having a laugh. Oh, no, they were quite all right.
The average soldier's position on board ship, I presume, was different from the officers. Can you give us an idea of how different it was?
Oh, there weren't so many in the cabin, that's all. And, yeah. Oh, we had a bit of training to do on board.
What did that involve?
What?
What did the training involve on board ship?
Well, one was physical, a bit of PT, and nap reading and stuff like that, which you could do. Eh? They used to want to do drill with the ship, you see. No, if it was anything that you could, training manuals that were used. Yeah. Well, they're hard to remember, you know.
Can you give us an idea of the average day on board ship?
Average day?
When did it start?
Oh, Revelli would be about 6 o'clock, I suppose. Of course, you see, the thing was, the whole lot couldn't go to do one thing at once. You had to do them in relays. A tucker and even for a wash, you see. And you go down for that, you see, and things like that. And you're rationed, of course, on water, and particularly on a ship like that, because the numbers. Yep.
The crowded conditions, did that affect the attitude of the general troops?
No. Well, it wasn't a crowded position. It was similar to the passengers you normally have. See? And they had their ventilation and things like that. Although, of course, there's something like about 4 and 5 depths of decks, see, that they're on.
Did you see what the conditions were like deep down below on board ship?
Did I? Oh, yes, I.
Could you describe them to us?
Oh. The main place that I had to visit was up in the front of the ship, inside, which was where our orderly room was. Because the most useless place for to have troops in there. So it was the orderly room, 2 or 3 orderly rooms in there, see, and they were there. And of course, you'd take the troops, the decks would be allocated, and you might have to use them to a timetable.
What of food on board ship? What was the quality of the food?
Oh, God. Look, I wouldn't attempt to say if I'm still alive.
That's the main thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Did you know where you were going?
Well, to a certain extent, Middle East. But of course, we only went as far as Bombay. And then we went up into the bush for a while, for about 8 to 10 days, I think. Then we came back and we got onto smaller boats. So we had to go up through the canal.
What, you mentioned that you were doing map reading. Were you given any kind of briefing about where it was that you were going to be sent?
No. Oh, no, it was map reading, scales and things like that, and compass. Although the compass was awkward on the boat because of the bloody metal. You could teach them how to use it.
What about things like activities on board ship? You mentioned the PT, you mentioned some of those things. What about things like, as I understand, there were the parties, shows put on often.
Oh,
is this something you experienced on the Aquitania?
No, not that I. No, nothing I can recall there.
What about the convoy? How many other ships were in the convoy?
Oh. I couldn't tell you. We did pick up other ships outside.
What sort of precautions did you take on the Aquitania in relation to the fact that you were a bunch of soldiers on a ship at sea?
Well, they were still under our control. I mean, they just didn't have a free run of the place.
No, but precautions in relation to the danger of being attacked at sea. Was there concern for that?
Well, I'm not certain, but I think there was AK-AK guns on the rear of the ship, and there was also an escort. Warships, the numbers I couldn't tell you, but they were there, and I know all from Bombay, up into the Adriatic, I think it was.
What was it like to?
We had aircraft up above, mm-hmm. Enemy aircraft, and they were engaged and they disappeared. So,
what was it like to arrive in Bombay, having never been there before?
Well,
Must have been a pretty unusual place for a chap from James Street in Perth.
Oh, well, not exactly, you know. You get used to these things. You got that much to bloomin' well do. And,
different culture, though.
Yes, but the British were still around, eh? And I think we went to a pub lunch there. Yeah.
What was your impression of the place?
Bombay. Well, you couldn't get much, but what I remember of it was fairly open, not overloaded, you know, as one gets at these native places. Yeah. Oh no, some of the digs did get mixed up with the Tommy's military police.
And why?
Well, bloody Tommy, we'll have a go at them, eh? And I had to go along and bail them out from the jail, or not the jail, what do you call it, the prison, military police prison, or detention centre, to get them back onto the ship.
So on in Bombay, what were your duties to be? You mentioned you stayed there for about 8 days.
Oh, no, we went up into the hills to...
What did you do there?
Oh, we more or less rested. It was muggy and moist and that. What the hell was it now? About 100 miles up in the mountains we went. It was also a detention centre. Although there mightn't have been anyone in it at the time. Doodly-doodly-doo-da.
You recall the name of the place that you stayed?
The Diwali.
So what was it that you were doing? You mentioned you were just resting. How did you pass the time?
I was just filling in time, a little bit of exercise, and what I've heard of it, some of them visited local villages, and whatever they did, I don't know.
What about yourself? Did you have a look around the place at all?
I had enough to do for odd things.
What was it that you were filling your time with, mainly?
I was in for the benefit of the troops.
What did that involve?
Organising, you had to watch their quarters and things like that, looked after, cleaned, and kitchen work too, see if fatigues were available on that.
Did you enjoy your time in Bombay, in India?
Well, I don't know, because I had to go along and bail them out from...
You mentioned it was pretty sticky and muggy.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, well, I say sticky and muggy, you know, it was warm and moist. Yeah.
So when was it that you were then to come back down to head off?
Well, we didn't know. We were just loaded, told, well, righto, move in 24 hours.
Yeah. What was the general feeling of not really ever quite knowing what's going on, particularly as you're sort of heading off towards, so presumably, combat?
Well, we accepted it. We knew we were heading for the Middle East. And,
tell us then the process of leaving Bombay to go to the Middle East.
Yeah. Well, we were loaded into smaller ships, which had were normal British transport ships, and rather restricted and a bit crowded. And of course, the distance wasn't great, as you might say. And that's all there was to it. Rations weren't the best. I know there are a couple of cases where the foodstuff had to be thrown out. And there was some mutton that they got off a ship that or a boat that came alongside. And when they loaded it on, and when they come to use it, was crook.
So how would you have rated the morale on board these little ships in relation to how it had been on the Aquitania?
Oh, well, all right. It depends how you treated them, how you handled the troops, you know. If you started to try and bully them and not explain things to them, well, you're in strife. And the way to handle troops went a long way.
So how long were you on board these ships for, roughly?
I think it might have been about 4 days, if it was that.
Coming up the Red Sea, what was that like?
Well, it was calm, what I remember. An aircraft flew overboard and it came under fire. Not directly over us, but I can remember. I think the Perth was there too, in the escort, if I remember rightly. And it didn't last for long, the interference. They must have got the wind up.
Did you know who they were?
No. We were put below decks when this siren was sounded, and we were put below decks out of the way in case there's anything happened on board.
So what you were seeing from the ship, what did you see from the ship as you went up the Red Sea?
The Red Sea.
Were there precautions in relation to mines and that sort of thing?
No, we didn't see any of those things. No, didn't see any mines or anything of that nature. They may have been there, but we didn't see them. And no ships were sunk.
So where was it that you were to get off the ship?
Where is Aden? About halfway up the canal. It was up in the canal that we got off. And we went straight off to the right into Jewellers' Camp.
What was your initial impressions of the port that you stopped at? When you first got off ship?
In the canal there. Well, the thing was that it wasn't much. Not much to see, and that was because the place was cleaned out and only the army or the services occupied it. See? And we were loaded off or taken off the ship, or took ourselves off, and on the trains to...
What did you think of the place that you saw from the trains, for instance?
Well, it was a dry-looking joint, and of course some palm trees, I think, I remember, but not much of a description.